Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of LARPs and TARPs. Today we're going to be talking about E4 and all the shenanigans that we got up to. It was an amazing event. I think we've only just fully recovered because it was very exhausting. Hey, how did you guys enjoy it? Good fun?
It was stupid.
Stupid?
It was relaxing.
Speak for yourself.
It was entertaining. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. I just figured out that we haven't even introduced ourselves. Hello, my name's Alex, and I'm joined here today by Chloe.
Hello.
Tom.
Hello.
And Kerry.
Hey.
And Morgan will be joining us shortly. He's running a little late.
Because his scatterbrain forgot the mic for his wire.
The Yay. Wire for his mic, even.
What did I say?
The mic for his wire. Oh.
He brought the wire but forgot the microphone.
Oh, no.
Which obviously the wire doesn't work without the microphone.
Yeah, either way. Still plausible considering he forgot the poles for his tent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's how our E4 started.
Yeah. Luckily, PD were awesome and sorted him out with a tent.
He was that close to driving another 4 hours back.
Yeah.
And then four hours back again.
Yeah. We were just there, like, trying to, like, brainstorm.
Like just sleep in our tent, but someone else is staying in my tent. Oh, no.
Yeah. So that's how Thursday started. And we don't usually mention Thirsty Thursdays, but I thought a special mention for...
Oh, yeah, a little shout-out.
Yeah, our dear friends Daisy and Oily, who, congratulations, had their lovely engagement party.
And invited the entirety of Empire to their Dredgefields camp.
I don't think they were all invited.
No, people just turned up.
Yeah, one guy even went up to Daisy and was like, sorry, who are you?
Oh, well, fair enough.
Something along those lines.
And they were just like, it's my party.
Yeah.
Who are you?
But I think, you know, people at Empire, they just saw a swarm of people.
Yeah.
Oh, who's this?
The man of the hour.
The myth.
Say hello to the listeners.
Hello to the listeners.
Oh.
My mouth nearly went to my teeth.
Lost teeth.
We've just been regaling them with tales of lack of tent poles.
Oh, no.
I forgot a cable.
It's very on brand.
But no, it was a lovely engagement party. Yeah, I got to shout at everyone to piss off at the end of the party.
Yeah, Tom's very good at clearing out a party.
Yeah, it's a natural skill.
Because I didn't see you stood there. I was like, right.
I was in a wig.
I was like, you're always in a wig. That's no different.
Do you wear wigs?
When will you wear wigs?
I always wear wigs.
It's true. But yeah, I was looking at people. I was like, right, Audie and Daisy are going to want to go to bed. I kind of want to go to bed. I was like, who can we get that people will listen and follow? So I think I asked Circuit. Did not see you stood there. And then just out of like, just in the corner of my peripherals, I just see you just
emerge.
Start to bellow yourself and then just shout at people, right, fuck off. Right. I was like, yeah,
you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
I was like, yes, Tom.
Move on to Forge.
It was pretty fun. But yeah, so that was Thursday.
Yeah, and then woke up Friday and was just eager. It's that Friday wait, isn't it? Once you're up and you're like, I just want to
Yeah, I really
start
wish
now.
Time in was earlier because I feel like you do spend a lot of Friday just waiting.
I don't know, Friday zooms past me. I like hanging out with people, OC.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose.
And getting to catch up. Have to time in the poster quest and the weapons check and all sorts.
You hate poster quest.
I do, but I do it anyway for the bit.
Your poster ended up upside down at our camp.
I saw...
With an axe in it.
I actually managed to get the first ever poster on the new Senate tent.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, because you can't obviously not put pins in the Senate tent. I poked two holes in the poster and tied string around it, so I strung it up to the Senate tent ropes outside.
Oh, I bet they were overjoyed by that.
I bet they were.
Yeah.
Especially because I was lacking a lot of drawing pins, so I couldn't go on a huge poster quest this time.
Oh, you should come back to the trees around our camp. There's about 50 per tree.
Yeah.
They're all just stuck. They're just embodied.
And some say the trees were made out of jackdaw posters.
Jackdaw posters make great kindling.
I made sure to go buy yours again and put one down, as is tradition, Morgan.
Yes, I think it's the last of the longest I've ever seen it because I found it on the floor on the Sunday. I was like, wow, that's been there the whole time.
It survived.
It survived. although looking after campers, less my responsibility now. So, yeah, I think they just left it be there for the whole time.
Oh, yay!
So how do we all start our time in? Tom, do you want to take it away? Well, how do you start?
So my time in, I thought it was going to be normal, going to track down one of the Reapers for a little business meeting. Turns out, no. One of my jackdaws comes back off this grand voyage. Morgan, you've got the memory. Who was the grand voyage for? Was it Rhianos?
My absolute favourite Eternal, the gender-fluid adventure dolphin that is Rhianos.
Yeah, so one of my jackdaws who I need to, for this deal, to put in for the chair of the wolf for a build slot, comes back addled off his head, beaten up to fuck, bleeding with one eye, eager to tell war stories and sea stories like Uncle Albert from Only Fools and Horses. So I'm like, ah, fuck, he's all riddled up. Then I've got two more critically injured because they went down the fucking pit. So everyone in my camp's dying. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
This is supposed to be a festival, guys. What are you doing?
Why are you coming back traumatically wound like chumps? So I'm trying to get Gustavos to think straight so I can get him to do this deal. The doctor's telling me to piss off because he's trying to deal with a patient. I'm like, no, I need these thrones. I need the chair of the wolf to pull off of something. We put so much work into this and have got jack shit. But yeah, he came to his senses and we managed to get that deal in. So hooray! That nice. Was how I started E1. No, E4.
Hey.
Which was E1 again. That meant more LARPs.
Oh, God, that would be nice.
What about you, Kerry? How did you time in?
Well, I had a little special surprise in my player pack this time.
Ooh.
It was a dream that I had had in character because of the whole Lashnar thing I was doing, you know, where I wrote three words of longing after the Eternal Lashnar. And the dream was basically two of his heralds having a conversation on a cliffside about wanting to communicate with the mortal realm and stuff like that. Yeah, so the roleplay effect of this dream was that I would want to go and get this token, which was, you know, the token I got rewarded, well, was getting rewarded for writing those three words of longing to Lashnar. And then once I got the token, the roleplay effect was like that I'd want to play with the token, sort of hold it in my hands and sort of mess around with it. So me and Red went over to the, what's it called? The fucking magic place. Rejo. Hall of Worlds. Oh. Me and Red went over to the Hall of Worlds and we got our tokens, which were little feathers, and each of them had like a little ribbon attached to them, and they each had different roleplay effects. So mine was I want to talk about the people, well, whenever I hold this token, I want to talk about the people I love most. And my character's not Borgarning or anything, so I took that to mean like my family. So then me and Red were walking back, and theirs was something about wanting to like talk confidently about themselves and what they've done or whatever. So I'm there like, oh, my sister, she's so brave. I just want to be brave like my sister, because my whole longing thing that I was writing about to Lashnar was that I wanted to be more brave and build my courage. And this is why Radka's taken the battlefield now. She's trying to become more virtuous in terms of courage. So I'm there like, oh, my dad, he's so ambitious, and talking about how virtuous all my family members are, basically. And it was just fun because, like, I don't have a lot of, like, really role-play conversations. Like, a lot of the time, like, my character feels like just me, but I really got into talking about virtues this summer. Mm. And I think that even though, like, I'm not religious out of character at all, having that to, like, make me feel like my conversations were more in character was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, like, I had this feather in my hand for, like, an hour just messing with it. Like, oh. And then, like, Cameo came over and we were talking to someone else. Like, oh, yeah, my sister's very brave. And Jennifer just looks at me like, what? And I'm like, oh, you're so brave, sister. It was very fun. What about you, Alex? What were you doing at Simon?
So, when Simon started, we've been at war in between events in Thrunin. So we marched in as Dreadshields with the banner, which was pretty cool, like down from God, kind of like bloodied up and talking about our war stories and how epic it had been. And then essentially marched back to camp where kind of touch base with everyone. I think a couple of people needed healing maybe. And then I think it was pretty much time for a kettle of ale.
Drink.
Yeah. And then you were walking in with us, weren't you, Neve, with the dread shields back from battle?
Yes.
They got amnesia in the war.
Yeah. I just imagine Otis walking onto the field, hobbling, leg half hanging off, and then just going up to wise guys and slamming the kettle on the bar. Fill me up, love. This is more important.
No, healer. Just a kettle of ale.
Kettle of ale first, mate. Come on, priorities.
I take a big swig and it starts leaking out of my spear wounds.
Yeah, it just comes out of your knees for some reason.
Tom and Jerry style. Just I also did a walk-in. We came in from behind the Dawn encampment.
Ooh, cheeky.
Yeah, after having been, what did I do? Oh, fighting the Deadwood Knights soldiers in downtime.
Whoop.
Yes, big whoop. As we were fighting, we had seen, it's either fighting the undead starts to get routine, you know how to deal with them. Anyway, we cut through several of them. We make our way to the crest of a hill and we look down into the valley before us. And we saw an army of undead, like military campaign style army. So one of the Winds of Fortune had been like, there is, if you don't deal with this immediately, you're going to have to send armies in to deal with these people. And it's happened before. So we were like, came back all battered and bruised. We'd lost like the leader of our order during this. But it was basically like a lot of kind of coming back, trying to work out what was going on. Which was pretty cool before we had to go basically have a meeting about what we were going to resolve because we believed there was going to be an opportunity to challenge the Deadwood Knight. We had a meeting about that about 8 o'clock. Other than that, it was kind of getting into character. You know, meeting a few people, seeing how things are going. Lance Captain's meeting, et cetera, et cetera. My first full summit as a noble, which was fun. But yeah, that was kind of how I kicked off until about 8. So I don't know if anyone's got anything that happened in between those points.
I think it was about that time that I was giving Aiden his oath. So Aiden was being kind of tattooed, sworn into the Navarre. And we got Corin, who's a loyalty priest, to attend and say a couple of words.
Courage priest.
I thought he was loyalty.
Courage, because he was gunning for champion of courage.
Oh, well, courage priest. Either way, he said some beautiful words. And Aiden brought a few of his awesome Dornish friends that we did the pantomime with.
Yes.
And they all stood around and we said a few nice things. And then I tried my best in what was becoming dark to tattoo his face. And I was like, you can improve on this, you know, OC, if you need to.
What did you choose for the tattoo in the end? Because I remember you had a few thoughts.
Yeah, I had a couple like little designs and I ran them past Albert, his name OC. I ran them past him to see if he was happy with them. But it was an A, but not an obvious A. So right. You don't want to be like, I'm Aiden. Isn't big A on my face. But it kind of like a subtle A with like some little thorns coming out of it and then a little squiggly, very Navari type stuff. But also you got to remember that he's got to draw it on his face like 3 times over a weekend. So it doesn't want to be too complicated or arduous.
This was for his Oath of Thorns.
What's an Oath of Thorns?
So Oath of Thorns, it's basically, so if you've ever heard Navarre walking into battle, you know, we chant as thorn, Navari fight as thorn. So being a thorn is basically like the warrior fighters for the nation. Like you swear your oath as a thorn to fight for the nation and do what you must in that way for the good of the nation, really.
Yeah.
I think it's the Schlachter in Varushka, and that's why we chant, Fear the Shan, the Schlachter are coming. Varushka!
I know that because your two founders were Navarre and Thorn, weren't they? So I guess it's, a reference to that.
That's why you got the dance of Navarre and Thorn.
Yeah. What a wonderful ritual.
So with saying things like, do you swear to fight for Navarre as a thorn and run bollock naked of a lawn husk if your empire calls it of you and stuff
that
like that.
That wasn't actually said in the oath.
No, but
it should have been.
That was the gist.
It's implied heavily.
Yeah, it's heavily implied. Yeah.
Right, get your kit off. What do you mean? It was implied in your oath, buddy. Come on.
You've not read the fine print of your tattoo. It says it right there next to that thorn.
It's written on your face. It's I will get naked.
Classic Navarre hazing.
And then, it was basically you may now rise as a thorn, and there was a big cheer, and then I sold 2 bottles of chocolate orange mead to the Dornish accompaniment that had come with Aiden, so it was profitable as well.
That's what you want.
Yeah, it was lovely. And then,
a nice, quickie little ceremony, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a nice...
Just in the corner of our tent.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite busy. I feel bad. I hope it was enough. I mean, he said that it felt important, so that's kind of all we were going for. But we were very busy previous to that, and then after, what did we have going on?
Oh, I had to go to military council to swear the jackdaws in. Part of being a mercenary banner is you have to each summit go and swear your numbers to military council, to one of the generals. So I believe ours was General Osric of the Green Shields. General Osric Irontide of the Green Shields for Wintermark. I was very happy at the beginning of the summit to see our mercenary company banner ribbon had been put into one of our character packs, because that is always a moment where you're shitting. It's like, if this ribbon is not in our character pack, that scuppers up so much game. Mm. And the artificer who made the banner wasn't actually on the game, so we're glad the transfer went through. It was there. Oh, the banner poles actually made it the banner poles were actually locked in a shed and the person had gone on holiday. So our dear Archie had to make some very quick banner poles the night before Empire.
Hero.
But the banner, the poles and the ribbon all made it to LARP so we could swear our oath to the generals.
Lovely.
And bless General John, whilst I was swearing in my oath, he told one of the generals to shut up because he was talking over me.
Aww.
General, so bloody rude. I make the effort to go to your thing. I don't make you to come to my camp. But no, I always like that a little bit. You feel like, yay, I'm part of the team. You're just shitting it. It's like, am I going to say the right words, the right numbers? Yeah. All this lot. But yeah, that was where I was at 8 o'clock. How about you, Kerry?
I think around that time, I was catching up with the Pine Wheels, the mercenary group that I've joined in Verushka, and getting my contract. I'm officially with them for a year.
Dirty mercs.
Yep, and they attempted to recruit me for a skirmish against plague wolves, and I knew that this was going to be in the dark, and I'd never been on a skirmish before. I hadn't really been in a proper battle. The only battle I went on at E3 was really easy. I didn't see any action. I mean, like, I've done some monstering as well, of course. But I was then, debating Radka's trying to be more brave, but I think this is, like, a step too far. Like, I mean, in the end, OC, I was too anxious to go and fight people dressed as wolves in the dark.
I heard a bit about this one, and I kind of refused to send any of the jackdaws on it because
heard
it was hyper deadly. I would allow my own troops, if you wish to go on it, to do it under their own volition, but I will not order troops on a night skirmish.
There was a couple, because there was the plague wolves, and then shortly after was the mega.
Yeah, I got invited on both. So the normal plague wolves at 9 and then half 9 against the elder plague wolf. Yeah. And I spoke to a few people, and some people were like, no, I'm a squishy healing mage. I don't even have a sword. What am I going to do?
Yeah, as I was saying, so you had the plague wolf and then the elder plague wolf. And we were invited on both, and we were heavily debating it. But
Wished for more skirmishes and the monkey's paw curled.
This was your first skirmish of the year, was it not?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was. We had a very lovingly being invited by
John of the Reapers.
John, yes.
So whilst I was cowering, stroking my feather and drinking alcohol, you went off to fight the plague wolves.
Yeah, we'll talk about our plague wolf skirmish shortly. What were you doing at about 8, Morgan?
So this was when we were resolving the Deadwood Knight stuff, and we had a big meeting. So in the first 2 hours of the summit, two representatives of the Order of the Felled Tree had done a detect magic on the Sentinel Gate, combined with some historical research we'd done. And we discovered that there were two conjunctions available. One at 6 o'clock to go into the tomb of somebody by the name of Elise of Cullich. And within her tomb, we were to find a sword that could defeat the Deadwood Knight once and for all. Ooh. And at 7:45, we found a conjunction to a site where the Deadwood Knight is known to respawn or settle or recharge, basically. And we were to go there, levy against him a challenge, and then have a tournament against him. So we had these conjunctions, and the basic of the meeting revolved around who's going to go on these conjunctions. And we had a massive back and forth of conversations about who should go. We worked out in the end, so it was 10 on the 6 o'clock into the tomb and 30 on the 7:45. The 6 o'clock was deemed to be combat unlikely, so we were going to be sending our researchers, those who have, who will be able to kind of understand the situation, the academics, the non-commons were going to go on that, and then the combatants were going to go on the 7:45. We did as far as we could. We did like an even split of Dornish and Verushkans, because this is a Dornish and Verushkan problem, And we managed to work out representatives from each one who was going to go on. So I think every Weirwater house that was there was represented to get the skirmish all sorted. Now, we also had some historical research, and I don't want to reveal what was in it because that will be released shortly before E1, like in the official capacity. But what was very exciting was after we decided the meeting and everyone that was going on everything, someone ran up to me and said, Lord Tristan, House Dulac is mentioned in this historical research. And we were like, excuse me? He was like, yeah, you might want to read it. And we were like, wait, excuse me? Sorry? So like, grabbed this paper off him. And I was like, okay, well, I need to go read this. I'd like ran back to my camp. I was like, hey guys, our house is literally mentioned in this document. And in summary, Elise of College was in fact Enchantress Elise Dulac.
Oh, wild.
And she had faced the Deadwood Knight 200 years before, and she had managed to put him in the ground without a curse being levied.
Woo!
Which was insane. Like, it was absolutely nuts to find this out. And we were like, what?
That's so cool.
Yeah. And we were going to her tomb the next day. So we were like, right, our Earl has to go. Like, she wasn't originally. It's like, there's no way we can find out there's a tomb of one of the house's ancestors and we not go. So we were like, our Earl, please, has to go on this.
That's my great, great, great Grammy.
which was crazy. So we managed to get that sorted. We were going to go on that. Really, really cool. Really, yeah, it was very exciting. That's kind of how that concluded. The rest of the historical research will be published shortly before E1. So the way historical research is, it's given to the researcher the summer after it's requested, and then it's made public the summer after that.
So 6 to 7 months, guys.
Yeah, it's public. Not six. Long. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's published, I see, 6 months later, but I see it's 3 months somebody gets it. But yeah, in game, it's now not going to be until the start of E1. But that was very cool. That was really exciting. It was really funny as well because you're all I see, but you're also trying to express the fact that oh my god, what our name's been mentioned. This is crazy.
So how did they pick Dulac? Like,
no idea.
Was it something that was already predetermined, or did they just go, oh fuck it, Morgan's been bugging us about something for a while, let's give him
it. Was Andy Raff with a dartboard and a load of Dawn.
If that was the case, that's fucking phenomenal.
The current speculation from my behalf is that, so we are obviously on the website, on the wiki, there is entrance for all of the Dawn groups, so you can put what house you're in, and we're in the Weirwater houses, and House Dulac's whole thing for its entire existence has been protecting Dawn from monsters in Varushka.
Well, that makes sense then. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, my theory is that they've gone like, right, which is an applicable house? Oh, these guys, this is their thing.
That's cool though. They've taken your lore to add it into the lore. Yeah.
It was so cool.
This fucking game.
Because we were talking about the fact as well that like, when this first came up, we were like, we should be involved in this because it is our house's whole thing. And then it's crazy, like a year and a half later at the end of the plot, it's like, it's been like, yes, it is correct. And we're like, oh my God. So yeah, very cool. Very, very cool. I then had a drink with a member of the order just to have like a big old chat, which was really nice because that was kind of my evening.
Did you get challenged at all? Because you granted the Grand Tourney, didn't you?
Oh, I forgot what I did.
Don't forget that,
The first thing, sorry, this was tournament event for me. It was the Baryon Tourney. Yeah. I had a little ribbon for a Baryon tournament. And then Varushkin came up to me immediately and was like, I want to fight you. And I was like, let's do it. So we went into the Glory Square and had a really good, fun scrap. They were like really fun to fight with. It was a really good, fun fight. Struck me down like immediately, but then managed to get a weakness off and then was like slamming them into the ground, which was really, really cool. That was my first ribbon. And that was, I didn't get another ribbon all evening because I was too busy doing
meetings Dawn,
into Dawnish politics, basically.
Welcome to the politics side of Empire, baby.
Politics, I feel like it's also like politics little p, because it's not like, I'm not kind of like chasing hats and seats and stuff.
No,
it's
very politics little like, p is a lot more fun than politics big p, in
it's
my
like
opinion.
Getting to know all the little groups and stuff. Yes, I had, my evening then was, I'll be honest, it was really fun, had a great time, but it was socialising, drinking, making some strong bonds with other houses, finding out people that I love are dead,
I was going to say that sounds fun, but then you said
finding out someone that was kind of like, you know, a protege son figure to Tristan died on the Plague War skirmish. Mm-hmm. Finding out someone else died on the Plague War skirmish. And then trying to drink my way through that and also be like, what do I do?
I think I saw you in one of those moments. Because
they happened within quick succession. And I was like, how do I don't. Oh my God.
then Dadka tried to talk to me. I was like, shh.
Yeah. I was like, I need more alcohol. But yeah, that was kind of my evening. And then wine club. But we'll talk more about that later. But that was
processing.
That was my evening. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Right. Rough. Kerry, what did you get up to?
Yeah, so for the rest of the night, I basically hung around at Hens. Shocker, I know. But I was with Red still, and I met their friend Telony, who had a bandage over their head and had a little bit of drama going on with one of the jackdaws, Gustavus. I went up to them and they told me that Gustavus had made them shave off their antlers so that they could go on a ship with them during downtime, basically.
The big race.
Because it wouldn't have been safe for them to have antlers, apparently.
Fuck's sake.
Because of the boom.
The bloody boom.
I guess, I don't know. But, so I was obviously outraged, and I was like, when I see Gustavus, Red is in character in love with Telony, I'm pretty sure. But also in character, like, I think Telony's meant to be a bit older than them, and I heard, like, what's Yada's character called?
Danica.
Like, advising Red, just be careful, you know, like, don't get too, like, whatever. Mm. So that was all a little bit of fun as well. But Red was like, I'm going to stab that Gustavus. I'm going to chop his knees off or something, like, whatever. So like when I did see Gustavus, I was like, why would you do that? That's like horrendous. How could you make a changeling shave off their antlers? And then Gustavus was like, well, it was for safety. Well, he agreed to it before he got on the ship. And I was like, oh wait, you agreed to this before you got on the ship? But it was just a fun bit of drama as well. I don't know, were you the one who sent off, Dadka sent off Archie to find some Realms Root? Which presumably is for growing back antlers, because that's what happened. So he took two doses of Realm's Root, then was complaining about a headache for most of the night, and then had antlers again the next day.
Yeah, Realm's Root is a drug that heightens your lineage.
Ah, there you go then. Is that permanent, or is that...
The effect can be permanent. So if
you take two doses, potentially.
Yeah, you can decide whether or not
you want
to
roleplay that. So they basically decided, I'll take two doses, then say it's permanent.
I think it has an effect, like a roleplay effect. Then it has your lineage may heighten, and then it has these changes may be permanent. So if you want a reason that your lineage gets more intense, Realm's Root is a good reason for that.
That's cool. I like that. I actually want to try out some more of the in-character drugs and stuff. I got a list off of another one of your jackdaws.
Adrian, he's made a list of all the drugs in the Empire and the effects they do.
Is that his name in-character?
Yeah.
I was going to say that's not his name.
They're so expensive.
I haven't got enough money to...
The flyer or the drugs? The flyer was only 10 rings.
The drugs are so expensive. I've only taken it once now, but it was so much money.
I've taken a Goose Whisper and I got it for free.
It's not cheap.
It's not cheap, no. It's like a throne for Goose Whisper.
Yeah.
Everything that goes into it.
I've seen the ingredient
list. I'm not surprised it's a throne.
Yeah. That's why Reiner was very much punished by the jackdaws after he spent our first earned throne on fucking Goose Whisper. Worst master of the coffers ever.
Mm, yeah. But in the end, Red ended up getting banned from Hens because Dadka was scared he was going to stab Gustavus.
We ban people at Hens?
Oh, temporarily. He came and apologised. I think that was more of a love spat between them and Telony. Telony's great. I don't think I'd ever met them before this event, or I didn't really remember like speaking to them much, but they were very much fun.
They should get Cameo to do little sketches of people that are banned and stick them on the bar. So like, yes. Do not serve this person.
I'm going to send Jennifer that and just get them to like write up, like do some like randomised ones, like not anyone specific, but then someone comes in and you're like, you look an awful lot like this fella, is that you?
Yeah.
And they're like, what? No, I've never been here before. What are you talking about? That'd be hilarious.
That'd be great for roleplay.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm going to suggest that to Jennifer. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I think my last thing before Merchant Prince's meeting was my and Narciso's attempt to end slavery in the Empire. So we had two orcs came up to us and like saying, oh, we're wanting to rebuild the Great Colosseum in Mareev. Will you donate to this grand cause. And I think we pretty much got scammed out of a throne because we were like, yeah, we'll donate a throne if you build a jackdaw's box in the Grand Colosseum. Apparently, Mareev is on very much under Grendel control and has been burnt to the ground. So we're probably never going to see that throne again or in the investment. Mm. But they were talking to us. They were talking about how someone had released them from slavery. So apparently the Great Mareev Trading Company sold these two orcs for four rings apiece. We're like, oh no, someone's selling slaves in the Empire. And apparently then we got the gist. Oh no, they bought the slaves to release the slaves. We're like, ooh, is this plot? Have we been handed sneaky plot by PD? Let's skip along to the orcs and tell them what we found. We're like, guys, we have an idea. We have some money. We can buy slaves and release them and be very virtuous and help end slavery. It was like, lovely idea. Love the sentiment. But there was someone who did that. They bought 6,000 slaves and released them as soon as they bought. Very demure, very mindful. But as soon as the militia found out, they got executed.
Yeah, I was hearing about this.
It turns out, even if you buy slaves to free them, you've still bought slaves.
Yeah. You've given money to slavers.
Yeah, giving money to slavers, fun fact, not a good idea.
Yeah, and then they'll enslave more people to then sell to you. They don't care what you're doing with the slaves once you've bought them.
As soon as we heard about the phrase execution, that's when Narciso and Nietzsche's 10 minutes to end slavery ended. I think we should be paragons for the attempt we made, but hey-ho. We tried our best.
What are the signs of paragonhood? Trying to do a thing and then giving up when you find out it's a crime.
Yes, that well-known sign of paragonhood.
Shit. Fine, maybe. Execution. Not about that. Sorry, mate. But that was what we were up to for a bit. What were you two doing?
Did you guys have a nice chill evening?
Well, before the Plague Wolf skirmish, I just remembered that you actually had your revenge on Murdoch, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
How did that go?
It was really fun. It was really good.
What was it again?
I had planned to take Murdoch's hat and I had hidden it.
Oh, yeah.
So for anybody that knows Murdoch knows that his hat is very much his identity.
It's all Murdoch is. There's nothing below the hat.
Is a hat and a cock. That's about it. So
they call him Cock Hat.
Well, I mean, according to the calendar, obviously.
Oh, that's where you're going with that. Okay.
So I had written some clues that had led him in a bit of a zigzag around Empire, around Anvil. And it went really, really well. It was just hidden in my tent.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole thing.
I liked how you hid one of the clues at the Jackdaws camp. Yeah, Beachy, where's the fucking hat? What fucking hat?
Someone came over to me really excited, like, oh, what's this, like, treasure hunt that's going on? Like, I've seen this clue on the Jackdaw sign. I was like, sorry, that's for someone specific. It's not, like, an open PD plot.
No. So, I had hidden some clues. There was one at the Defrost camp, and the Defrost lot were really fucking funny.
Yeah.
And they... So, if you've ever seen their camp, they've got that huge, big round table, and they've got, like, a massive, like, tent over it. Mm. So, they tied it to the tent poles at the top. So, Murdoch had to climb on the round table, stand in the middle of it, and, like, stand on his tiptoes to, like, untie the clue from the roof.
While he was up there, they were all shouting, like, get down, you dirty Navari!
Get off my table!
And everyone in Dorne was turning around like, what the fuck is that Navari doing?
Because Gaston does not have a quiet voice. Yeah. No. So obviously he was like, Murdoch, get your feet off my table and out of my food! And it was really funny. So I sent him to Defrost, to the Jackdaws, to then back to Navarre, to then back to the League, to Danica's, and then just back to the last clue literally just said, have you checked your tent? And a little winky face.
What, you hid it in his own tent?
Yeah. Oh. So I'd taken it out of his tent.
Just long enough for him to realise
it was
missing.
And then put it in my tent.
As soon as you knew he was on the hunt for it.
Well, I'd taken it about 3 p.m. So
no,
before
but once you knew he was looking for it, you just put it back in his tent.
Yeah, well, there was a point where... So we were going around with Sylvie, who was new to Anvil and was Murdoch's friend. But they had to go to God to get their player pack. So whilst they went and did that, I quickly ran and took it from my tent and put it back into his tent and was like, oh, so it's in your tent. But yeah, so, so I completely forgot to mention that earlier. So yeah, that was at timing. That was bang on timing. I waited until we'd done our march in. To, as soon as we got back to camp, I handed in the first clue. So yeah, that's what I did. And then obviously fast forward the rest of the evening with everyone. And yeah, the 9:30 rolled around and we were on the Elder Plague Wolf skirmish.
How did you feel? Like, this is the first skirmish you've had in a year. Was this your first night skirmish as well?
Yeah, actually.
Well, it was
yeah.
my first ever skirmish.
Really?
Yeah, it was good fun. I enjoyed it. I mean, I knew it was going to be dangerous. Yeah. We'd been warned heaps that it had been dangerous. But I figured that if I was ever going to die, I would want it to be at an E4.
Yeah.
And I even thought that last E4, because Otis was ever kind of like a starting character. And I always wanted to go on an E4 so I'd have a good six, seven months. To actually think about, right, what kind of character do I want to actually have at Anvil?
Yeah, I'm bricking it. If I ever die at like E1 or E2, it's like, I have 6 weeks to get new kit. Sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not a crafty boy.
I'll just go back to Navarre. I've still got all that kit.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was more than ready for the risk. And we all queued up. And it had, like, Flying Lead Nightmare vibes. Because obviously this is my first experience.
I was
going
to say, I imagined it being like that from what people were telling me.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
What did you think compared to the main battles? Because obviously you've battled a lot.
Mm.
Did you feel trepidation seeing how many fewer there were lining up for the skirmish and whatnot?
To an extent, yeah. I mean, obviously it's equal because you're kind of fighting a similar amount of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was completely different, mostly because it was night. But again, you know, if you've done Flying Lead Nightmare, it'll give you a fairly good idea of what a horror-like night skirmish would be similar to. So yeah, we started queuing up, in which point I saw Tristan. I was at the front of the queue and he came up and he goes, are you doing the Plague Wolf skirmish? I was like, oh, we're doing the Elder Plague Wolf skirmish. And he went, oh my. Tapped me on the chest and goes, don't die. And
I don't get why people do that. They're so stupid.
One time I told someone not to die at Anvil, they died, so I don't do that anymore.
So I actually hate when people do it to me.
Yeah.
But when I found out you're going to the Elder Plague Wolf, I was like,
please don't die.
Bro.
No, yeah. Like, it felt genuine. It didn't feel like you were taking the piss.
Fucking hell, bro.
Like, please actually don't die.
People who say it to me, I'm always just like, I'll simply refuse. Don't worry about it.
And then we went in and it was very quiet. I think that's one of the biggest differences, as you were saying, Tom, between like normal fighting where everyone was just screaming, shouting.
Singing.
Yeah. It was very quiet and we're all stood in a straight line. And started progressing forwards, and all we could see was just the silhouettes, just the figures of people, all black, advancing towards us from the other side, and then it all just went fucking ape shit, like very fucking quickly, because they had husks with them who, it was their job to convince us to retreat, to basically lose our minds, not do the right thing.
Weren't they like mingling amongst your lines as well?
They were, yeah. It got to a point where you didn't know if the person standing right next to you was an Imperial or not. I was fighting one guy at the time who hit me and managed to just get my sword and shield in the way. And I was like, whoa, I'm an Imperial. He went, I know. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh my God.
Hacking at him. And then as it was all going to shit and just an absolute fucking mess and deadly and people were screaming, people were down, then a giant fucking wolf comes out.
So describe the wolf prosthetic to me, because I was very interested in going to see the big set piece of that.
So it was absolutely huge. And obviously when it's night and the adrenaline's running, it seems even bigger.
Yeah.
It was like grey. Obviously it was dark, so it was quite hard to see. And yeah, it had these big, long, thick arms with claws on the end and just a big, dense, grey wolf. And it was, I don't know if its head had come off at this point, but it had a human head. it didn't break my immersion much, but or maybe the dude was just hot because he'd done...
Or maybe he couldn't see.
Or maybe he couldn't see, yeah, exactly.
Or maybe an Elder Plague Wolf has a person's head.
Or maybe they have a human head, yeah. But as they were swinging... They were shouting strike down. So there one point where I was watching it and it swung and hit Chloe, Neve, and she went flying. And then it swung its, as I'm watching that arm, it swung its other arm around and hit me and said, strike down, like screamed strike down. So then I went flying. And then you were on the ground for a little bit after that, weren't you?
Yeah. So from my point of view, like we entered the field, as you said, it was eerie. It was quiet. It was dark. You could just see silhouettes of a line and we were just slowly advancing and then they started to advance and it just, no one held their line and it just very quickly faltered and it was just, it was so confusing. You did not know who was who. Like the husks did such a good job. Their job was to confuse you and that they did. There was a point where I was talking with someone and fighting with them and then they said something to me and went, wait a minute, and then rah, and then like went and just started to hit me. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
I generally thought they were like someone with me, like on the line. I was like, fuck. And it was so crazy. But I got struck down at the same time. I had both my legs cleaved, like simultaneously, pretty much. So I'd been struck down and I had no legs.
No.
So something had happened. So Sophia, who plays Rook, got fucking booted in the face by someone and has still got a big old like bruise on their nose. Booted in the face. Like it was proper dangerous. But we had to take the knee for someone. I don't think it was for Soph because they were next to me. Because there was like when everyone had, you know, they called the timeout and we sat there and Soph was like, are you doing? You're right. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I've just got no legs. And then I did the whole, I ain't got no legs, Lieutenant Dan. Just kind of making, you know, it was a little bit funny, whatever. And then, you know, timing got called again. And Orwin came over to try and do something with me. And I just screamed at Orwin's face. And I was like, you fuck off and leave me now. And fair play to her, she did. Because she was getting absolutely belted on. And if she had stayed, she would have gone down as well.
Yeah.
So I was like, you fuck off. Like, you go. I went and checked in with her after. I was like, I'm really sorry for telling you to fuck off. But... I didn't know what else to say. And she was like, no, like, fully, it's cool. Like, thanks for the check-in. But, yeah, no, message received. If I hadn't, I would, like...
Quick question. Were you on your bleed count or just no legs?
I still had, like, two hits.
You know you can start shimmying around attacking people.
Yeah, but we were under the effects of miasma as well.
Okay.
So...
Which miasma?
Like, we were venomed. Oh. So, yeah.
You didn't want to make a bigger target of yourself, like, I'm still alive!
I was in this point, I was like, right, this is it. Like, this is me, done.
Chloe, I just want to quickly pause. Do you have Relentless?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool.
That's how Dave, but if you had his character died. Please, he didn't have Relentless.
Use two Relentlesses.
Yeah. I think I might... still, I don't know if I've got Relentless anymore, to be honest, but I don't use my hero.
I know, that's why I was thinking, I was like, Chloe's on the floor, like, you probably could have stood up again.
I personally think Relentless is one of the most important calls you can have.
Yeah, so I was on the floor and I just kind of thought I was done for, and then I hear two hands and I feel two hands on my shoulder and I get up and it's Carrick, who plays Ferg, and he's literally like physically shoving me through the gate and I'm like, he's like, come on, he's like, we're going, he's like, we're leaving, we're going now, and I'm like, where are the others? And he's like, they're right behind us. And I look and I turn and I'm like, there was no one behind us. And I was like Carrick, where are they? He was like, they're coming. There was like, they're coming, honestly, like we are going.
You've got no legs. Get through the gate.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, I had no legs.
You ain't helping anyone.
I had no choice. Yeah. But he physically throws me through the stones, so I can no longer go back into the field. So I have no other... I'm panicking because I don't know where anyone is. I can't see anything. I don't know what's happening. So we go back through the sentinel gate and, you know, I'm screaming and they take me to the hospital where they do a fantastic job and stitch up both my legs. They start to treat my venom. And as I'm laying on my front as they're, like, sewing my legs back on or doing whatever they want. I was like, oh, actually, that feels quite nice. And I can just see Leg stood at the entrance to the hospital, just shaking his head at me very somberly. And he's just shaking his head and he's like, I'm so sorry. He's like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, Leg, I was like, you fucking tell me who we have lost right now. I was like, you tell me right now. Obviously, I couldn't get up because they were still fixing my legs.
That's probably the best time to tell me.
Is it bad that I can't imagine him keeping a straight face? Does he actually look really sad?
He looked like a little puppy.
Oh.
I know.
I wouldn't want to tell Niamh.
So I was like, who have we lost? And then the hospital were like, right, that's it. Yep, you're good to go. And I literally grabbed my sword. I was like, thank you very much. Grab my swords and I grab him. I'm like, Leg, you tell me right now, who have we lost? And yeah, I'll let you pick it up. What were you doing as I'm getting healed?
So the last thing, one of the last things I saw was you on the floor. You'd had both your legs chopped off and you appeared to have about 3 people around you. I, of course, had no idea whether they were Imperials or whether they were attacking you. And I saw you scream at Orwin, fuck off, get the fuck off me, get out of here. And I was like, this is it. You know, Niamh's dead. This is Niamh done with. I didn't see Carrick, but I was like, right. And I had this like sudden burst of adrenaline and I just started swinging like crazy at this one guy. And he cleaved my leg. So I was I went down to my knee and I was like, oh fuck, I've used all my cleaves as hero points because I love cleaving.
Oh no.
So I do love cleaving. Captain Cleave. So,
yeah. You gotta leave one in the tank, bro.
So I would have had Unstoppable as well, but I just love cleaving. What can I say? I just love a good cleave. I chopped a lot of limbs off. Maybe save some lives, who knows? So I went down to my knee and then this guy kind of was like laughing and talking about Imperial bullshit. And kind of like meandered off. I think he got attacked by someone else. And now I don't think I can say...
Active game.
It's active game. So I can't say how I died.
But you were on your knee. You couldn't get back up.
I was on my knee. And yeah. So I then was killed. I then died. I can't go into detail about how or by whom because it's active game. And
it just fades to black.
And the next thing I can talk about was I was just laid on my back and I was just looking at the stars and I was like, oh my God, I died. I've actually died. And this guy came up to me and he was like, are you bleeding out? Are you dead? And I was like, I couldn't figure it out at that point because I was still just thinking that I was dead. And then I looked down at the gate and, I said, I think I'm bleeding out or... I'm not sure because I'd never. Oh, I can't even say.
Yeah, if you were under miasma anyway, you'd have only had 30 seconds.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So I looked down at the gate and I saw that nobody else was with me, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm dead." And he went, "Okay."
Oh, was it like a ref or?
No, it was one of the husks.
Oh, so he would have killed you if.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why he was asking, but I was just a bit confused at the time. So then he just goes, okay, well, I'm going to eat you a bit and nom, 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 on my belly. And I was like, ooh. And then,
what is the charge?
succulent Chinese Navari. So he was like, okay, so now you're a husk. So basically, once these husks or plague wolf or whatever have killed someone, you then come back as like a Day of the Dead type zombie. Mm.
Cool.
So he was like, right, you're a zombie now. So I stood up and I had my sword and shield limply in my hands and I was like, and there was no one to go towards.
But everyone had gone.
Everyone had got out the gate, but we were still walking towards the gate.
So you got to have a little zombie moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, fuck, that's so sad if you're now a husk.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I'm glad because I think because as I was role-playing being this brain-dead zombie, I think if Niamh would have seen that in that moment, or if that was how she realized that I died, I think that would have been much more traumatic.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been horrifying, I reckon.
If you'd like attacked her as a horse.
Do you know what? I know it's bad to say, but I don't know if I'd have had the balls. Luckily, I wasn't put in that situation. Not because being injured or whatever or injuring you, but like just emotionally, I don't know if I could have done that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Luckily, I didn't have to, so I didn't break any rules. And then, a ref just goes, all right, who's dead? And me and a lot of other people, I think there were maybe like 6 of us, 5 or 6 of us.
Leader of the pack died on that skirmish.
So I heard, I don't know if this is exaggeration, but I heard of a 90-person plague war skirmish and 30 people came back.
Oh, maybe more.
I don't know if that's exaggeration, but that's...
Well, when I got to God, there was already a lot massive in the queue. Yeah. So I don't know if maybe those that had died earlier were taken off earlier so that it was less to fight against. I don't know. It felt like about five or six people that were walking with me. One was the person from Fancy Nuts.
Sophie. Who played Fionn.
Yeah, she was behind me in the queue. I was walking about with these couple of people and they were saying like, oh yeah, this is my second character this year, you know, all the rest of it. Oh yeah, I've had two this event, you know, whatever, considering it was Friday. Yeah, I know. And so we had a bit of a giggle and stuff like that. And they're like, how about you? And I was like, oh, this is my first ever character. And they were all like, oh dude, little pats on the back, which was nice.
Aww.
And then I stood at God and I was literally just stood in the queue, just like staring into space, like everything was kind of dawning on me. And then Chloe came up.
So I had grabbed Leg and I was like, you tell me right now who we've lost. And he never actually ever said Otis. He just simply said, I'm sorry for your loss. And I broke. I'm really so sorry if you were one of these people, but there was loads of people like outside the hospital and I physically shoved people out my way. And like, I just stood I dropped to my knees on the Sentinel Gate line and I started like wailing like a proper widow. I was just crying my eyes out and I was screaming like, no, I can't leave him. He can't be out there. I need to get him. I was like, no, not Otis. And I'm like screaming and crying like, and then because like I was having a real hard time. Like processing that it was Otis that had died. Cause I'm here thinking like, I'm never going to fucking see him again. I was like, what am I meant to do? And I'm here thinking like, it's Alex. So I'm like, what about the cat? What am I meant to do with her? And I'm like, how am I meant to do this without him? I'm like, I'm freaking out and I'm panicking. And like, so after like crying for a few minutes on the line, on the Sentinel Gate line, like, I remembered, I'm like, oh shit, no, Alex is still alive. He's going to be sad. I need to go and see if he's okay. So I'm like panicking and like, I can't breathe because I've got like my little war jacket on, I've got my chain on and my hero belt and things. And like, I'm trying to like take this all off as I'm like storming to God, like down the main path from the Sentinel Gate to head up to God. Because I was like, I just need to go and see him now. But like, I couldn't breathe. Like my chest was tight and I'm crying and I'm like freaking out, like OC and IC freaking out. And I'm like throwing all my shit on the floor. And then I'm like, oh, wait, fuck. Actually, I should probably pick that up because someone's going to steal it. So as I turn around, Anna, bless her, is running after me after she's picked up all my stuff trailing behind me. She's like, here, I've picked this up for you. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I'm sorry. She's like, what do you need? I was like, I just need space. And she was like, yep, cool. Clear direction. Fine. Great. So I've just stormed, beelining it, still absolutely crying my eyes out to just go to God, just to come and see you. And I think I see you and I just give you the biggest hug.
Yeah, you just threw your arms around me like, are you okay? Like crying your eyes out, bless you. And I was like, I'm fine. And luckily the queue for God took a while. So we were able to just have quite a long moment where we could just be like, or where I could be like, I'm Alex. And I'm still alive.
Yeah.
You know, everything's going to be okay. You know,
Neve is not an emotional person, but Chloe very much is.
So we just had a moment, where we could basically just kind of like, I could reassure you that everything was like, all right. But it was still, you know, incredibly sad.
Because I was saying to you in the queue, I was like, do you want me just to retire Neve as well now with you? Aww. Like, do you want to go start somewhere new? And you were like, yeah. And no, I kind of gave you this look and you were like, do you want that? And I was like, no. And he was like, okay, then no.
No, I said, there's no way that you do that. And you were like, no, there isn't. I was like, but it's very sweet of you to offer. And then we went up to God and we finally got through and a dude with an iPad was just like, yeah, what's your name? Oh, sorry. He was like, yeah, just want to click there. Kill character.
I was like, oh, brutal.
Cool. Oh, he made you click it.
Yeah. Oh. And then he goes, if you want to just turn around, there's some computers there, you can make a new character. And I was like, bro. I'm not even cold yet.
Does it actually say kill character?
Report death.
I'm not going to lie, just because it's in the film as well. It's very much reminding me of Tim Burton's, you know, when they're all in the waiting room in the afterlife. Very bureaucratic.
It was very much like that.
We decided, because a few people had like, because Michael and I think you had as well, Kerry, had like come up and were like, oh my God.
I was really worried because I bumped into Anna. I was literally ready for bed. I was going to the port loose for my last wee of the night
And I bumped into Anna and I was like, shit, I've got to go find Chloe.
Yeah.
Find Alex. Are they okay? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Obviously, people had known about Alex, so just assumed he'd be at God or whatever, but people
I assumed
didn't...
He'd be with
Yeah, him, people didn't yeah. know where I was. Like, there was apparently some kind of like little like search party well, going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, but I think people at IC didn't want to like just come straight to God because like that would be weird. They were like, oh, let's go check the hospital. Let's go check Dawn because they've got friends in Dawn. And I was like, no, I'm going to go to God and find them.
We came up to try and give our commiserations at your camp, but you weren't there. So we went.
We
Nietzsche
did.
And Radka went to the corpse glade.
Yeah,
to
we said
words,
our own
those.
Few words as soon as
and
about your dad.
We were That's there sweet. Talking. And we just noticed this guy in this corner after about 5 minutes. Like, is that Otis?
I don't even think it was a guy.
I was like, oh, he was an idiot, but he was such a lovely idiot and a hero.
I was like, I was going to say something, but now there's a stranger like sat on the floor and I don't know what to do.
People, well, it was actually Michael that came up to us first. He was the first one to find us. And bless him, he was saying, like, oh, we just wanted to make sure that Niamh hadn't done anything stupid.
Yeah, but people were really worried that she had gone on some kind of
murder
rampage. But, I'm glad that we had those couple of hours just stood getting freezing cold in the queue to God. It was nice because we got to decompress a bit.
Mm. So when I suggested this silly little LARP game 3 years ago now, did you expect you'd be crying over a made-up character dying?
It's your fault, Tomothy.
Absolutely.
It'd be a silly good time. I'm sure it'd be a laugh. True emotion spill out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the first experience of death we had was Gwyn dying.
And that hit hard anyway.
Yeah, I didn't realise how hard it was actually going to hit when someone died. And then obviously when your character dies, it's big as well.
Thing, yeah.
But I think my biggest worry was just Chloe. Like, that was the first... When I was laid down, that guy was numbing on my stomach. I was like, oh my God, I fucking hope Chloe's okay. Like, because...
She's got no legs.
Someone's going to have to tell her. Someone's going to have to pass her my Dread Shield dog tag. And all the rest of it. And
that was so sad. Yeah. So we'll talk about that the next day. But I was handed Otis's Dread Shield tag as well as his bond ring with Niamh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you'd literally just got bonded at E3.
Yeah. So.
Shall we end this episode on this serious note and finish our silly little Fridays next week?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think on that bombshell, we'll end it. But. Listeners, trust us, it does get kind of happy at times. We, you know,
I had a fun time.
Fun things happened
Evers
also.
Yeah, watching drama.
This event was a roller coaster of emotions.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was insane.
It only gets worse. It only gets worse for me for the weekend.
I think this event was the first time I cried in character. Like,
dude,
actually.
I don't think there was a single hour where I wasn't crying at LARP.
Yeah.
Because
I think you made me cry because you were crying, you know? Like, I think otherwise I probably wouldn't have been as affected as much because, I don't know, I don't have as much bleed as you, I guess. Like, I don't know.
Oh, man, I had real bad bleed.
But seeing
event.
How upset you were, I was just like, oh, my God.
Thing is, though, it's like, obviously, because... everyone's got a lot of shit going on, but I've got a lot going on in like personal life, and I'm not very good at showing my emotions, but at LARP apparently I can very well.
I'm exactly the same. Like, I real life for some reason doesn't hit me as hard, but then when you're in LARP and like watching films and stuff,
it just hits me really hard.
With films, absolutely, it's the soundtrack. I think if LARP had a soundtrack, I'd be bawling my eyes out constantly.
LARP does have a soundtrack, and it sounds like Kettle of Ale.
Yeah, and then finding out Otis had died. So someone came up to me and said, you know, someone had died. And then someone comes up to me going, have you heard? And I went, yeah, about so-and-so. And they went, no. I went, what do you mean? And they held up Otis's dog tag. And I just was like, sat down.
So that's the point when I was stood right there and Dadko was trying to say it to me. I was like, no, 1 minute.
It's awful.
Like, and then I went to tell Dadko. He was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, Dadko was very upset that you died as well.
I went to check on the Reapers and then they said, no, we're all back.
Yeah.
And apparently then one of them had died. But then he mentioned Otis, like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And then, it was basically the walk back to camp as a dead person, which is really strange. But as I say, we'll cover that next week.
Yeah.
Morgan, you have your 5-star reviews to read.
Oh, my God, I do.
What's the point after all that?
Yeah,
is there any point to anything?
I promise
none of them are me this week.
As everybody knows, I am contractually obliged to read out every 5-star review. However, some of you are not following what I've said, right?
What jerks.
So this is what you need to do, realistically. Yeah, fine. Commenting on Spotify is lovely. And I thank you very much for doing it. And you're on YouTube as well. Very nice. But I need you to go on to Apple Podcasts. I don't know how many times I need to say this. You need to do it on every platform. We do this for free, everyone.
Can you do it through Apple Podcasts if you don't have like an Apple device?
I think so. Make an account. We do this for free, guys.
No, but like,
it's the least you can do.
Can you access that just through the website?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need...
Alex is slaving away in his tower every week.
just sat here, plugging it in for free. You don't even have adverts.
Tom's a boneless hamster running the electricity.
Yeah, it's terrible. Anyway.
Living in the basement of the lighthouse. Yeah.
People who have at least put some effort in. Let's have a look. Freeloaders. Right.
Except you lovely people who donate on Patreon. We love you.
Yeah, well, we love all of you. Yeah, just saying.
Except that one
guy. We just love some of you more than others.
Yeah,
we should. We don't have favourites, but
and
we definitely do.
He's easily bought with a 5-star review, such as 5 stars as always. Love this podcast and want to find you guys in a field, even if it's just to ask you about that Irimaeus, which I presume is your freezing brand, Chloe. My question, as it must be read, when a friend in the Reapers was mourning their deaths, I had to run up to them and do so really excited, high energy RP, because I was under a strong RP effect coupled with a curse.
Ooh.
Embarrassing OC, I apologised after. What funny, awkward, plain bad moments have arisen from RP effects for you guys? And finally, Brass Coast, Best Coast.
Lack of coast.
Cassandra requests. Yeah, it's just the brass now, isn't
it? Yeah.
Wow.
Are we okay to answer this question?
Yeah.
Has anyone got an answer to it?
Like awkward RP effect.
Man. Yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
Just as I was saying before, when I was bragging about how brave Cameo was in front of her, and she's looking at me like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And I'm there like, "Oh, my sister, she's so brave." But like, I don't think I've really had any role play effects other than being high off Goose Whisper when someone came and tried to sell me Goose Whisper, and I just had a vision that I was eating people because of Goose Whisper, and I was like, "No, mate, no." But nothing as traumatic as that sounds, dude. Anyone else?
I've never had an embarrassing roleplay effect, but I'll throw in an embarrassing LARP moment.
Go on,
It was my first ever Empire that will always immortalise the words of Is it Edna Mode from The Incredibles? No capes. It was my first battle wearing armour that doesn't fit, not even a gambeson, clanking around with my shoulder cape, and the ropes got tangled and I could not move my arm to it. Meanwhile, my belt didn't fit properly, so my trousers are falling down around my ankles. And it's like, is this how my first LARP character dies? Trousers around ankles, unable to move arms, beaten to death by the Jotun. Incredible. Luckily, it didn't come to that, and the trousers did stay up.
If you live, you learn.
Yeah. No capes.
I think it's not really an effect of anything, but as previously stated, Neve deals with grief for most people in very different ways. she has previously made inappropriate jokes at very inappropriate times, and most recently this weekend when we'll get into it at another point, where another character died that Neve was a big fan of, but... like Neve did to Tristan at the Corpse Glade when Gwyn died.
Yeah.
She just has a habit of making inappropriate jokes at the worst times, like a funeral.
Yeah.
So
putting the fun in funeral.
Yay!
So yeah, probably just that. Just sticks a foot in her mouth sometimes.
Yeah, I remember when Gwyn died, and I kept saying it's okay. He's really good at directions. He'll find his way through the labyrinth. And then when I noticed that, I don't know if it was you who came up and hugged me and was like, "It's fine. He'll make it through the labyrinth." But he's so bad at directions.
He's just gonna find a cozy little corner with a kettle of ale.
As long as there's kettles available in the labyrinth. Any embarrassing RP moments?
I've never been under a roleplay effect. I've never taken any drugs, anything like that. I've had a few embarrassing LARP moments, but none that kind of...
Okay, let's just say Dick Wasp.
Dick Wasp. Dick Wasp was... That was traumatising.
Though actually, sequel to Dick... not Dick Wasp, but the same day when you had the wasp in your mouth... drank a wasp.
That was probably,
Dadka got stung in the mouth by a wasp the exact same way this event.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, like he went to have a drink and then felt pain in his mouth and he'd been stung in the mouth by a wasp. So, guys, check your tankards.
Yeah.
Especially when it's warm and you're drinking sweet things.
What about you, Captain Morgan? Perfect over there.
I'm trying to, because the thing is, I know I've embarrassed myself. But I cannot.
But I think maybe Morgan would be embarrassed, but you're entirely Tristan in that moment. So
yeah, but I guess this is like OC embarrassment. I know I've done it, but I can't remember when.
And do you really want to?
When you got an erection, oh, when you were in no...
There was that time you were at a funeral and you were, had to scream in pain because they were playing music?
But no, because I didn't... No, because I didn't scream in the end. I meant to take myself away and that was all fine.
All right.
No, but whereas Tom does have an embarrassing role-play moment at a funeral, don't you, Tom?
Oh, yeah, they were so full of spunk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Christ.
Spunk, so full of spunk was a phrase in that era.
I know, but you read the room, Tom. You like, we were all there, you know... Welling up a little bit, we're all emotional.
God, she was full of spunk. Never seen a corpse laugh so much in my life. I know I've been embarrassing, and if I haven't been embarrassing, I've probably said it on the podcast. So if anyone can remember,
comment.
Comment down below with Morgan's most embarrassing moment.
I'm an embarrassment, so like I have to have been embarrassing.
Dig deep into the L&T lore.
Yeah, Christ.
It'll be somewhere.
Anyway, more 5-star comments.
The best Empire Light podcast. Keep them coming. 5 stars. Thank you very much. Yeah. Jake UVC912.
Will endorse.
And then...
I believe this was from a rival podcaster.
Morgan, you have chased me across the Mediterranean for your money and have failed. Well, now is your chance to claim your recompense. 1v1 me, noob. More than colon close bracket. Looks like a little smiley face that's frowning. Dash. Heather LARPing my ass off. Interesting surname, Heather. Well, let me tell you, you can give it a go. Love to teach, show you your place next time, E1, or any other player event. I'll put you on your ass. Thank you for the review.
Hooray!
Be careful, Morgan will steal your episode recordings and run away with them.
We're already in your walls.
Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. If you want to support us, the easiest way to do that is to like, comment, subscribe, share, tell your friends. Also, if you want £15 off your first Empire ticket, you can give us £15 off at the same time by going using our codes in the episode description. If you want to support us more directly, we do have a Patreon at Fabletop, where you can support us there, as we do have some lovely supporters who are helping to keep the lights on.
Tom doesn't have to run as hard.
Yeah, exactly. Windmill? Are we a windmill lighthouse now?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we had to multifunction.
Yeah, we're running out of money.
We needed the wind turbines for the power, so we thought we might as well. Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. And remember, you owe us a 5-star review. It's the least you could do.
Yeah.
No pressure, though. It's optional, but there is a knife to your back.
It's heftily implied that you have to.
We love you, whether or not you leave one.
They're all being very nice. I am not. You have to.
I just don't
want to
get cancelled.
I don't care.
Morgan wants to get cancelled. I don't know why.
I don't want to get cancelled. I want 5-star reviews. And the best way to do that is to ask, obviously.
You're not asking, you're demanding.
You do not ask for a test. You do not ask for a 5-star review. You demand it. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We will see you when we see you next. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.